Chicago is more than great food, iconic sports, legendary music, and crooked politicians. It's a community of people who, at their core, care about one another and their city. We're chatting with new and native Chicagoans about all things local on The Chicagoan Podcast.
How you guys doing? I'm Tony Arce. Welcome to The Chicagoan Podcast. Today I'm joined by my friend, Crystal McDoom. Crystal, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Kind of right off the bat, you are an immigrant originally from St. Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been a Chicagoan now for going on almost 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about why Chicago, coming from St. Lucia, especially considering these winters that we've had. Usually the opposite. Right? You're like, I want to go to St. Lucia.
You have no idea how many times people have that reaction. Like, why would you leave there to come here?
Right.
I
mean, you do get why we would ask that.
I guess. Well, I think there's one perspective people have on why they ask that. And so I would say Chicago kind of chose me, or the universe chose Chicago for me.
Sure.
I grew up in St. Lucia. I was raised there. I went to school, community college. My family is still there. But in 2010, a unique opportunity presented itself for a partial academic scholarship. And so, similar to what you think and what many other people think of St. Lucia's paradise, it is. In many respects, it is. And it's a beautiful country with a lot of beautiful people. But at the same time, what people don't seem to realize is that it is a developing country or third world country.
Sure.
And so there aren't many access to opportunities, especially if you're a young person that has ambitions or want to pursue a professional career, like I did as an engineer. There just wasn't access and opportunities, and so I got one, and so Chicago chose me, and here I am.
And it was something that didn't necessarily come easy either, right? Because you had been applying to this for some time.
Yeah. You want me to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, please. I think people take for granted that you know, you can just come here and whatever, but it wasn't like that. I mean, you've had quite the journey, the immigration journey, right?
Yes, it's been a hell of a journey to get here. I shared with you before off of the podcast, mm-hmm, but I might as well say it here. I don't come from affluence. You know, my parents didn't have money. There was no path, really, for me to go to college. My dad always had the belief system and ingrained in me in a very young age that, you know, they can take your house and they can take your car, but they can never take your education.
Right.
So I had no real path or idea of how I was going to get an education, but that was a strong anchor point for me while I was growing up. And so after community college, my parents didn't have the money to send me to school. And so I worked for a civil engineering firm in St. Lucia for 3 years. At that point, I had an associate's degree in architectural technology, and I was applying to different schools, and I kept being rejected, either because the academic credentials I had at the time was not accepted in first world country like the US or Canada or the UK. Or if I was accepted, then the exchange rate for getting to school here was very expensive. And as an immigrant, you don't get scholarships very easily. So again, when I say the universe chose Chicago for me, it was pretty much a miracle that I'm here.
Right.
Because again, as an immigrant or as an international student, you don't get scholarships. And you can't easily get a You can't easily get financing or a student loan in America, at least not from what I experienced at the time. And so, again, the path to get here was just 3 years of constant rejection of you can't get the funding, you can't get the acceptance because of the difference in the academic requirements. And also, there was no real guidance for me because I have two older brothers, one of which had left St. Lucia to pursue his own level of studies. At the time, I thought it was to do an undergrad degree, but really and truly what he was doing was trying to get an associate's degree in aircraft maintenance engineering.
Oh, wow.
So the reality of it was I was the first one in my family that was right off the bat trying to go to get my undergrad degree, and there was no real guidance. And it's not to say my family didn't want to provide it. They just didn't know. And so that's one of many different challenges. And when the scholarship presented itself, that wasn't just like, oh, you got the scholarship and now you can come. There were a layer or levels of many different challenges that presented itself after. And so I can dive into that if you want to hear that. I'll pause here.
Well, no, I mean, and I guess too, what from that, call it struggle, or you know, to appreciate it from that different perspective where it didn't come so easy, you know, what were some of those things that I guess maybe that from a culture shock perspective or arriving here, seeing maybe some of those things that we take for granted that are worth putting up for the winners here, right? But some of those things that you bringing this perspective in of understanding the difficulties to get here, and that we as those who grew up here, and even being of immigrant parents, right, that we don't appreciate. What are some of those things that you noticed just culturally that stuck out to you the most when you first got here?
One of the first things that was quite jarring for me, actually, was the fact that people here are very cold.
Really?
And here's the perspective that I have on this. Where I come from, if you pass somebody on the street and you know them, you will at least acknowledge them. You will greet them. You will say good morning. You will say that to a complete stranger. And here, that's, people don't do that.
No, they don't.
And I remember the first time in college, I was in a class with someone. We had a full-blown conversation. And then I saw them maybe 2 hours later. We walked on the sidewalk. They made eye contact with me. And it's almost like they didn't even know me.
Oh, that's different. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, no, that's... That's you're just taking on the wrong people.
Listen, I'm just telling you my experience. And also another thing that was really hard, and even 13 years in, well, maybe not 13, maybe more like 10, 12 years in, the Midwest is very cliquish, meaning that they're not very inviting into their own personal communities. And it took me a very long time to build my own community or my own collection of friends because people were very isolating. Mm. So that's like one thing that I noticed about the U.S. is vastly different than back home.
And I think it's changing a lot in a bad way, in that people are becoming a lot more isolated. And there does seem to be that evolution where it's going in that direction, right? And you see that through technology, through all these, you know, even now virtual reality and this and that people can still almost manage life, but do that. What advice then would you give to people who, because I think that as we talked about kind of earlier, people are looking for that community. And you're right, if it's closed off to them, then it doesn't matter whether you're from here or not, it's going to be hard for you. Mm-hmm. You know, what are those takeaways that you can give some wisdom or advice to people who are also looking to create their own community, but don't necessarily know where to start or where to even look for that? How'd you do it?
How did I do it? My gosh, that I fumbled along the way. So I think for me, the biggest thing that I tried to do, it started with my own internal work of trying to understand and build my own level of self-awareness to see who am I and what is it that really is meaningful to me. And once I was able to orient and ground to that, and it's a continuous journey, like it's something that I still do now, it helped me be able to better assess the people that I was spending time with. And when you meet somebody with a good vibe, like we were talking about earlier, you're like, oh, I like this person's vibe, and let me explore that more. And sometimes it will materialize into a friendship, and other times people get busy and they fall off the radar. But it's being consistent and recognizing that not because a friendship or a relationship didn't materialize from that, it's not a reflection of you. It really and truly just has other things to do with it, but it's being able to be consistent and accept the rejection and keep going along the way. So it's no different than if you fail at a job or fail at a career, you just keep doing, just keep at it. Like, I don't know what to say other than just keep going. And so I do want to double back on one thing that you did ask me about things that people take here for granted or don't realize how easy it is. And I'm sure there are other places in the US that experience this. But one thing that came to mind was access to water.
Interesting. Yeah, no, we have, I mean, the land of lakes here, yeah, basically.
So one perspective that, or one thing from my experience from back home is anytime it would rain, the water company would shut off the water because the filtration system was not good or sufficient enough to filter it, and the water would get muddy and dirty.
Wow.
Every single time. So it wasn't like you had a tropical storm or a hurricane. It literally was like anytime it rained and you're in a tropical island. So we would...
and like literally just shut it off. Like,
yeah, just
like,
shut it off.
Like you can't shower, you can't...
There were no announcements, so like you would have to pay attention to the water pressure, and then you're like, wait, nope, let's go fill up some buckets. Some people have tanks attached to their houses, so then you turn off the valve or you turn on the valve and then you get access to water. But that's like one simple example.
You get to switch your source.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's crazy though, because it is those other things that, again, taking for granted that you just would never even assume. Mm-hmm. It's literally taking for granted, you know, that you have access to these things. And mm-hmm. we do have literally the Great Lakes, like 70% of the Earth's fresh water here. Yeah.
And, you know, simple other things like food and resources. There's so many times, like I mentioned, my mom still lives back home. And so there's many times she reaches out to me and like, hey, can you order this online for me and send it to me? Because I can't get XYZ thing here.
Wow.
From medication to food to just like basic amenities. It's still a struggle and a challenge there.
We're spoiled here for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. First world problems is a real thing. Yeah,
and not only that, but on top of, you know, seeing those things, I want to bring up, because I think it's such an important part of your life, but 2017, right? Oh. We talked about it a little bit. And some of these things that you had gone through, because at one point you had to go back, right? Again, immigration is always a tricky thing, and not to get too deep into that, but mm-hmm. I think it's that was just one fifth of the stuff that you were going through that year, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, a little elaborate. You went through the loss of your dad, but some of those things that you had to go through that now have really defined you as this resilient person to overcome. And we'd just love for you to share a little bit about that and some of the ways that it's made you the person you are today, and to be able to stand here, but also to share that with others who, like we talked about before, struggle is something that we just all go through, but not everyone has handled it the way that you handled it.
So 2017, like I shared with you earlier, goes down in the books as the worst year of my life. And it happened, I define it that way for a number of different reasons. First one being my dad, who I loved and cared about, but did not have a smooth relationship with him. It was tough throughout the course of my life. Started mostly in like my mid-teens into my early 20s.
And you were also saying because you had very similar
personalities,
so it's easy.
Yes, he and I had a lot of similar mannerisms, and so we butted heads a lot.
Which tends to happen when you do. I
mean. Yep. So... In 2017, on my birthday in January, he had a stroke on my birthday.
Wow.
And 2 days later, he passed away. And so every year, my birthday is like a bittersweet feeling for me. Like, oh, I'm alive, I get to celebrate. But I always remember where I was in that moment mm-hmm. when I got the news. But after that, it was very tough. And so I used to think leading up to my dad's passing, it's just something that I used to think about. I had no idea why. oh, I thought I would be okay, like, when he passed, because our relationship was not always the best. And when he did pass away, it actually rocked my soul. And in a way that I just didn't expect. And shortly after that, I didn't, so going back to community and having a tough time building friendships here, something I actually didn't share with you earlier is that I went home for his funeral. I came back and I dealt with his passing alone. Because the few friends that I did have here, they didn't know how to deal with death. And so instead of just checking in or seeing how I was doing, and I retreated, so they're not, you know, fully responsible for the way that I responded, but nobody checked up on me. And so I literally dealt with the pain and hurt and loss of my father all by myself, which I wish upon nobody. Nobody should go through grief by themselves. So that was that. That's how I started 2017.
And if I may ask you on that, because I think it's something that, you're right, a lot of people do end up dealing with on their own. And, you know, if you could go back, I guess, or looking back even at the relationship or whatever, you know, what advice would you give yourself that you might do things differently on one end? And then what advice would you give to, you know, not necessarily those friends, right? But just friends in general who have a friend going through something like that, right?
Great question. So the first one I will answer, and I've given this a lot of thought over the years, what would I have done differently? I don't think that there's anything that I could have done differently, to be honest with you. Because my dad was who he was and I was who I was. And I don't think there's anything I could have changed.
And there's peace in that.
Peace in that. But what brings me peace is this. I had a mentor while I was in college that said to me, you should write a gratitude letter to your father. And I had a hard time coming around to writing that letter.
This was while
I was in college.
Oh, just as a...
Yeah. He knew about, like, the challenges that I was experiencing, and he said, you should write a gratitude letter to your dad. And he's like, nothing else. All of the things you respect, admire, and you're grateful for. And he's like, it can be one page, can be one paragraph. You should write it. And I had such resistance to it, and I didn't want to do it. My college boyfriend at the time, his mom had passed away, and it was sudden, and it really gave me a perspective that life is fleeting, and you really never know when somebody will pass. And so I wrote the letter. And I sent it to him, and when he read it, it did actually change the tone of our relationship. And even if we never really talked about it, but it changed the tone and it was better. And there was some level of peace, but still there was still, like, we never just got close. I am grateful that I wrote that letter. And I used the words in that letter when I gave special remarks at his funeral, because it still rung true on his last day. And so any advice I would give to anyone, no matter how much somebody hurt you, there is a lesson to be learned from the experiences that you had. And so something that I said at my dad's funeral is that I never understood why you were so hard on me compared to my brothers. He was more strict with me than he was with my brothers. But it's because of that, it helped define the woman that I showed up to be and how I handle myself in my career and how I show up as a person because of the ways that he raised me, even if I didn't appreciate it at the time. And so I would say anybody that's going through that, you have to be able to be grateful for the lessons or see the lessons and opportunities even in the tough moments. So that's the first thing.
That's beautiful, by the way.
The second thing is, so one of the friends that didn't show up when I was going through this tough stuff with my dad, love her, adore her. I still very much, she's like my soul sister, but we did have to have a come to Jesus moment. And I think this was right before I actually had to leave, which we can get back to. And I spoke to her about it and basically said, you know, I showed up, I had to be doing this by myself. And she said, well, I didn't know how to show up. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I'm a doer. I like to do things. And I felt like there's nothing I could have done to take your pain away. And I said to her, you just had to show up. You just had to be there. You could have just sat there and let me cry, or just sit there with me in silence and do nothing. Your being mattered more than your doing, and you didn't do you didn't do or be in either space. You just distanced yourself. And so it hurt more that I was hurting and then didn't have somebody that I cared about dearly not be there for me. So the advice that I gave her, which actually turned out to be super valuable for her when her husband lost his mom, and also the same advice that I gave her, she's been able to impart it on other people, is just show up. You don't have to have the right words. You literally can just say, I'm sorry, and just be there with that person. And that means more than having to give them money or running around doing errands, or even if it's that's what you're doing, just show up. That's what matters.
It's so true, though. I mean, it's so true. And to sit there with someone is to carry, you know, one another's burdens. And that's, you know, that's a huge thing, mm-hmm. you know. And look, it had the ripple effect of it didn't just end there. And I think so many people can, you know, I commend you for that, because that's a big deal. And, you know, a lot of people would just get offended and say, this is not our friend, turn away. And that'd be the end of it. And no lesson learned, right?
Yep. And I think that's something that's really core to me. I rather have a conversation. It's, well, let me understand how and why you did what you did.
Which is, again, huge.
And if I get an understanding and the reason you gave was not sufficient, then I can peace out. But for me, it's, I do that in my job too. If I have an issue with somebody, I have a conversation first to understand. I don't like drama. I also don't run away from confrontation, but I don't think confrontation is drama. So talk about it first. See where people are at. Sometimes it could be just a common misunderstanding and move on. But I do think in the moments where you are hurt and you have that conversation, it can build, create an opportunity for you to get closer in friendship or relationship, as opposed to what you're saying about just distancing yourself. And so, I don't know.
It's like doing the tough stuff too. I mean, as we were even talking about, is it's easy to run from your problems. It's easy to mask them, to numb them. But when you chose to go through it and you choose that, you know, you always come out better on the other side because of it, right?
That's what people keep saying.
I mean, here you are. You're a living testament to it. So, you know, when you go through these things, and then on top of that, you know, not to get too far into it, because I think, you know, that's a whole nother, you know, you can just talk about that forever, these things that you went through. But when it comes to the overcoming of that and the resilience of it, right, I think there is, even just taking for granted those little simple things like water, like you said, and having that. But when you have perspective, it gives you a totally different perspective, a mindset, right, of resiliency. So where has that then played into this evolution now, where you've taken these experiences, but also, you know, you've overcome a lot of stuff in your job, and, you know, even that, get another episode just on that, right? But these male dominated industries, being a woman of color, these are all things that you're having to deal with on a constant basis, that if you were allowed them to get to you, it probably would have hindered you in your career a long time ago, but here you are, right? So, yeah, how does that shape into this mindset, and what could you offer as words of wisdom to those that didn't have these necessarily, or didn't have the overcoming of the experiences, but also have the same challenges in their workspace and their lives with, you know, different types of relationships, professional, personal, toxic relationships, all that, right? How does that Yeah, how does that mindset play now into it where you could offer that advice to others?
I think it's a really good question. And I do think mindset, having the right mindset is really what's gotten me through a lot of the tough things that I've been through. And if you really have to orient to the, like what the underlying tone of it is, it's not to have a victim mindset. And, you know, you're not responsible for the way people treat you. And you're also not responsible for or have any control of what happens. And I think 2017, again, was the start of a three-year journey that really taught me I have control over nothing. I have literally no control over anything. And being able to understand that, but the person that I have control over is myself and how I choose to respond and how I feed my mind and my soul and my spirit and the people I keep around me to be positive and to orient to those things is what I really think has gotten me through some really hard stuff. So that's what I would say.
No, and it has. And I think just even, you know, those elements of what you talked about before with the toughness of it, right? And it's almost always preparing you for that, mm-hmm. right? And so how is now, given where we're at and all these experiences you've been through, what do you see as a vision? Because on one end, as I'm hearing you say this, you have no control. Mm-hmm. But then on the other end, you've also become the person that you set out to become, right? That's what we talked. I love that mm-hmm. for you. And you are here, but I see that evolving as well. Yeah, so what are those things now for the horizon as you've become this new person, this new version of yourself, but also that's changing too, right?
That is changing. And you've asked me that, and I'm still trying to figure it out what that next version of me is. What I would love the opportunity to share is just the person that I did become, meaning I grew up as an island girl. I moved to Chicago when I was 22 years old to become an engineer. And then I worked my way through the construction management industry. And now I've landed in a spot where I work for one of the most prestigious higher education institutions in Chicago, leading and managing millions of dollars of capital funding for them to build and design and construction projects.
Which, congratulations, by the way,
thank
in and
you.
Of itself is a huge thing, right?
And so I became the version of me that I wanted to become. My 15-year-old version of myself would be very proud and think that I'm a badass, which I'm going to say I am. But in terms of the next step, I don't quite know what it is. And like I told you, I feel like there's something percolating under the surface for me. And I don't know what it is, but I'm really excited and I'm open to what opportunities that the world and the universe has to offer me. I feel it. Something is coming. I don't quite know what, but I'm excited for it. But the vision that I do have is that I do want to be an example for young people. And I do want to be able to serve the world. But in what way that shows up, I don't quite know yet. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, I think it's wherever it's going to end up is going to be amazing. And I'm excited to see it. So if people are curious, want to follow, support you in that way, how can they find you online on whether it's Instagram, LinkedIn, you know, website? How can people find you?
Crystal McDoom on LinkedIn and crystal.mcdoom on Instagram and also on Facebook.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, Crystal, I'm very grateful. One, to have met you, but also to have you come and share your story and now be a part of this community and have you inspire hopefully so many other people.
Thank you for having me.